My brother, he ain't here tonight, and it's kind of hard. I ain't used to singing without him. My brother was diagnosed with autism at the age of 4. Doctors told me he wouldn't do much in his life, but you know what? God always has another plan.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful to be a part of what God has. I'm thankful, church. I just love Jesus. Without him, I'm nothing. I'm thankful for his blood. I'm thankful for his mercy.
Amen.
And how we just got to enjoy how Jesus died on a cross, because he just took our sins far away. And I'm so thankful for what God's doing for all of us. Ain't God good?
Amen.
Amen. I'll share this little song with you. Amen. Yes, Jesus. How many is thankful God called your name? Amen.
They asked old Lazarus, well, can you explain how a man can be dead and then live again? Why, that's just insane. But old Lazarus said, boys, I heard a voice, and it spoke life to me, and death set me free when he called my name. Well, he called my name, and I heard his voice, and he called my name, and I made my choice. I knew my life was never the same after he called. He called my name.
Can I get an amen after that? Amen. I'd be nothing without Jesus. All the glory goes to Jesus. All the praise, all the singing, all the preaching, it all belongs to Jesus. He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. He's coming back, hallelujah, for his children. I'm one of God's, hallelujah. That means thankful to be a part of one of God's. Amen.
They asked Zacchaeus.
I want y'all to think about this.
Can you tell us about Jesus? He wasn't a sycamore tree. He just climbed up to see the Lord pass his way. But the Savior cried out, Zacchaeus, today I'll stay at your house. So I took him in, and he forgave all my sins and called me by name. Well, he called my name, and I heard his voice, and he called my name, and I made my choice, and I knew my life was never.
Thankful that he's just called your name.
Amen.
Amen. I want to share this little song with you. This is one that God's given me. And since I was a little boy, 12 years old, I could remember singing this song to Jesus over and over and over. How many is not for sale this day? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot of things to offer you anymore. But I'm telling you, if you'll fall in love with Jesus, you won't make no mistake there. What happened to our preachers that used to preach so strong? And what happened to our singers that used to sing God's songs? Well, the preacher's out doing their own thing, and the singer's now singing country. They sold out what is right, what is wrong. Can I get an amen? And what happened to our churches that used to be filled up and on fire? What happened to all of the voices that got up and sang in God's choirs? Well, the churches are now going dead and cold, and the choir is silent, calls nobody goes. They sold out to the world and their own desires. I'm about to get happy. Oh, but I belong to Jesus. He saved my soul from hell. Yes, I belong to Jesus. And this heart, it's not for sale. Was a friend in Sparta offered me years ago to be a part of some old rock and roll. I said thanks for the offer, made it all sound swell. But my voice belongs to Jesus, and it's just not for sale. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. I'll share one more song and I'll get out of y'all's way. But I'm telling you, it's been a blessing to be here. Is it all right if I play the piano? I don't know what happened. gonna play that piano first. Y'all help me sing this little song. It's one that everybody knows. Once again, I want to say thank y'all for allowing me to get to come and sing and share with you. God's sure been good to me. God deserves all the glory. I don't take no credit. It's not my voice. It's not nothing. It's Jesus. It's just Jesus. I give him all the credit. It's just God. I'd be nowhere where I am today without him. I need Jesus, and so do you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Love y'all. God bless you.
All the way down to his soul. Amen. 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 That's right. Anybody? Anybody else got a song on your heart tonight? Maybe God laid one on your heart. You're supposed to sing. Just like a testimony. You're supposed to and you don't. Stay here. We got to do this kind of thing.
Amen. Pray for me. Thank you.
I really wanted to, had it on my heart last night to get up here and sing, and I didn't answer God's call, and I'm really paying for it tonight. I've just had this irritating cough, and I thought, no, if I get up there and try to sing, I'll surely mess it up. And tonight after hearing him get up here, and I got a couple of songs. The first one is one of my all-time favorites, and it's "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" And it's just, it's a good old-timey song that I've always loved.
I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day, when I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? Home away in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I said to that undertaker, please drive slow, for this lady you are carrying, Lord, I hate to see her. The circle be unbroken by and by, oh, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Oh, I follow close behind her, try to hold. Could not hide my sorrow when they laid her in the grave. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord. Sisters crying, what a home so sad and long. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the babe, I taught us hear the angels sing along. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky. Circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
His second song is a song I wrote. Never knew I had that ability until I was sitting at home one evening on the couch working on some college homework, and I was thinking about how I'd never been able to write a song, and I had a notebook laying there next to me on the couch. And I threw my school books down and I picked up my notebook. And it just came to me. I just started filling out a page and another page. And I ended up with two full pages of words. And where I got this song is my testimony. And I've shared it in here before. I was saved in 2009. I didn't really go to a good church to help build on just being saved, being God's child. And I just got to some stuff in my family's life, my mom. Some stuff came out about what her dad had done to her. And it got to a point where I thought, how could God let something like this happen? If there is a God, why would he let something like this happen? So for the next year and a half, I ran. I ran as hard as I could. I got out, ran around, ran as far away from God as I thought anybody ever could. Never thought God would ever want to have anything else to do with me. And I was at a youth thing that was going on over in Independence. And there was this preacher. He was visiting there. And I'll never forget him because I thought people up here were, you know, hick. Well, his feller was really hick. I never heard that kind of accent in my life. But I knew when I heard him, I said, he's from a different corner of the earth. But the message he'd preached that night, he was talking about teenagers and young kids getting out in the world and wandering off of God's straight and narrow path down into the brambles. And where this all came about, he said he was on an old country highway headed home one night after preaching a revival, and he said there was a farmer down there trying to get his cow out of the brambles, the briars and brambles. And he said, well, can I help you? He said, yeah, sure. He said, won't do any good. He said, because every time I lead her back up, he said, she goes right back down there. He said, it's just something about them brambles that she likes. And boy, the devil can make it all seem so good. And I just, that night, I went up to that altar and I prayed harder than I think I've ever prayed in my life. And I said, you know, God, just forgive me for turning away from you, for not believing in you. And it's just like a burden was lifted off my shoulders. And he said, son, you know, I've been here all along. I've just been waiting on you to turn around. Though I ran so far from him, he was right there just waiting on me. Amen.
labored and I struggled. I fought and I ran. Lord, I have run far away from you. Now here I am, Lord, I'm before you. On my knees, Lord, I pray. Come into my heart.
Oh wait, you ain't male.
We'll let Stephen help him lead.
Yeah, he's staying.
Parking there.
We're gonna park? What are we gonna sing? Are you guys staying?
We're gonna sing 3 minutes on
Jake?
The
mountain. Jake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cynthia, I'll go, you lead.
You're leading.
Somebody else can lead.
Lead.
You going to play or you going to just sing it?
I'm just trying to.
So y'all blame Santiago for this.
Blame me.
You've been singing.
I don't know if I can sing or not. I got new glasses today with bifocals for the first time, so I'm just like this.
They won't affect your voice, though.
Yeah, but
just your eyes.
What goes into my eyes and comes out my mouth.
Everybody see it? Everybody see it? Yo.
So no, I'm not. I'm playing right here.
You have to pick somebody bigger to hide behind, Santiago.
They're big enough.
That ain't hardly fired, let me tell you.
Period.
You start.
Yeah. Put it down.
Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. The man on the left was a sinner man.
Y'all messed up.
Well, this is the first time we practiced.
Yeah.
We'll get it right.
Do this
twice. Do this twice, right?
Okay.
Let's do it one more time.
Okay,
ready?
Let's go again.
Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. The man on the left was a sinner man. Nailed to the cross he bled. He could have been forgiven, but he mocked the Lord instead. You say you are the Son of God. If God your Father be. Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. The man on the right was a sinner too, but he was sorry for his sins. He asked the Lord's forgiveness, and Jesus said to him, fear not this earthly day. Before this day is o'er, you'll be with me in paradise on heaven's golden shore. Three men on the mountain, up on Calvary, and the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me. And the man in the middle was Jesus. He died for you and me.
Good job.
Hey, they didn't want me to sound about the
same. I'm going to go. Boy, it's hard to follow that first act. That wasn't no act. That's what I like to hear from the heart. Let it go. Let it go and let God. That's what Brad wrote on the whiteboard back there in the prayer room. You know, we talk about free, being free. You know, when we do like these three fellas did here, you can get free from hell. But you know, after that, we're still a slave to a perfect master. No longer to the world out here, but to someone who loves us more than we'll understand. And when I see my son standing up here singing for the Lord, boy, it just does something for your heart. But you know, freedom really is just comes in little spaces in our life. Freedom comes between stimulus and response. What I'm saying is, when something happens to us, we've got a choice to make on how we're going to respond. In that little space of time, we have a freedom to decide how we're going to respond to what happens. After we respond, then we're going to answer for how we respond. If we respond wrong, we're going to have to live for that. We're going to have to pay up for it. We're going to suffer over it. We're still going to be forgiven if we've got salvation.
Amen.
But like part of what my son was talking about, something happened. And I got to tell you, it took me a while to figure out how to respond. And I'm ashamed of what some of the thoughts were that were going through my mind. And I just thank God I had God sitting there waiting on me to help me with the answers. This song is one I just learned recently, and it's a pretty good message in it. Kind of fits today. It's Beyond the Rain. When the sky is getting dark and the clouds are moving in, when the storms of life fill our hearts with pain, just let the Savior in. For when we trust in Him, He will lead us beyond the rain, beyond the rain. There'll be no more dying, no more crying, and no more pain. When we put our lives in the hands of Jesus, He will lead us beyond the rain. When we live our lives alone and try to make it on our own, still heartaches and emptiness remain. But if we hold on to God's hand, He will lead us to a land where His sun will always shine beyond the rain, beyond the rain. There'll be no more dying, and no more crying, and no more pain. When we put our lives in the hands of Jesus, He will lead us beyond the rain. Now the battle has been won. God sent His only Son to fulfill the promise of His name. If only we believe, what a gift we will receive to live with Jesus beyond the rain, beyond the rain. There'll be no more dying, and no more crying, and no more pain. When we put our lives in the hands of Jesus, He will lead us beyond the rain, beyond the rain. There'll be no more dying, no more crying, and no more pain. When we put our lives in the hands of Jesus, He will lead us beyond the rain.
Amen. Brother Chris, have a break this. I appreciate most of all the Lord being here tonight. Amen. I've already felt His presence. If we went home right now, it'd been good to be in the house of the Lord. But I really enjoy the Lord, and I enjoy what He's done for me. And boy, it's been a blessing to sit here and listen to the songs and think about how great the Lord is and how small I am. But I'm going to tell you tonight, praise God, we have got an honor and a privilege tonight to carry the gospel to the lost and dying world. Amen. A lot of us tonight count it as a burden, but it's not a burden. It's a great joy. It's a great honor that God would even let us be able to take the gospel to this lost and dying world. Amen. He could have chose the angels. He could have chose anybody to do it other than us. But He chose us to do that job. And what a blessing that is tonight, Brad. What a blessing it is to be able to share all that we have with this world. That's right. I'm going to tell you tonight, we've got everything. That's right. We've got everything. Everything that my Father has is mine tonight. And I'd like for you to turn with me over to the book of Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, starting with verse 1. I couldn't get this off my heart and mind. It was, Lord's put it on our hearts. And as we begin to get in the prayer room over here, begin to talk to the dear brother, and some of the songs that was sung, I just begin to think about what an awesome responsibility we have, but what a joy we have to serve the Lord today. But if you would stand in reverence reading God's word tonight. I'm not going to read all the way through the 24th chapter of Genesis. It's a long chapter, but we might do that too. It's hard to say. We're just going to go how far God wants us to go. I don't really know exactly how far He wants us to go, but we're going to do what God told us to do. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 24, starting with verse 1, it says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and took and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and shew kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be that she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her pitcher was upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, for loving me. I'm thankful for all these dear people that's come out this way tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, for the singing that was done in the name, in thy name and for thy glory. Lord, I'm thankful, praise God, for those three precious souls that's been saved this week. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm glad, thank God, that the journey's already been prosperous. What a blessing that is. But tonight, I believe, dear God, there's some others here tonight that needs to be saved too. I believe there's others that may have turned away from you. I believe that there's others here tonight that don't realize that the responsibility that they have tonight is a wonderful responsibility, but all they need to do is get down and pray to the Lord to make their journey prosperous. I pray tonight, dear God, that you'd touch this church, that you'd touch the community around this church, that you'd touch our county, that you'd touch our state, that you'd touch our nation, that you'd touch our world. Dear God, tonight, I just pray, dear God, that we'd be obedient unto our Master tonight. I pray, dear God, that you would touch us and help us and anoint us from on high. Dear God, that we could reach this lost and dying world for the glory of God. Help us, dear God, to get a burden on our heart. Help us, dear God, tonight to take it serious. Help us, dear God, tonight to have great joy in this journey. For we love you and we appreciate you and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I ask you to be seated at this time. But I want you to realize here before we go to preaching tonight that Abraham had just had a great loss in his life. I want you to realize that Abraham had a great loss. He had lost Sarah, his wife. And he was at a time there that usually his son there, Isaac, was about 40 years old around about. And most men had already got married and already got sent off. But he was very careful about who he was going to let his son marry. He wanted to make sure that they was pure. He wanted to make sure that they was white. They wanted to make sure, thank God, that they was just right for him. And I want you to realize tonight, as we look at that, we find out that the Father of God in heaven, praise God tonight, he's looking for his son, a bride, praise God. He's looking for his son, someone that'd be a good bride unto him. And I want you to realize tonight, thank God, that the Father finally realized that his son needed to get married. And I'm telling you what, he took it very seriously. And I'm telling you what, tonight our Heavenly Father takes it very seriously when he calls people to be the bride of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to realize tonight, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what he's doing. I'm glad tonight that my Father owns it all. I want you to realize tonight that God loves you and wants to save you if you're lost. But also, if you're his servant, you're precious in his sight. You're precious in his sight. As I go through his scripture, I notice a few things here. In the very first of it, it says Abraham was old and well stricken in age. I'm glad tonight, praise God, that my God, he's not old and he's not stricken in age. But he's sort of giving us an example here, but our God, thank God, he never grows old. He never has any problem. He never walks around wandering around with his hands rubbing together wondering what he's going to do. My God never thinks about that. My God's already, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He already knows, praise God, what's going on. He's already looked back at time. He's already looked forward at time. He's looking at this thing from the outside in. Because it's already happened, praise God. That's hard for me to fathom. That's hard for me to get the understanding of. But I'm telling you, I don't have to understand it tonight. All I got to do is
just believe it, praise God, tonight. I got to believe, praise God, my Father knows what he's doing, and he knows exactly when he sends me out. He knows where I'm going to, and he's already working on the other side. I want you to realize that tonight, praise God. My Father does it right every time. My Father, when he passed by that night, Wednesday night, when he saved my soul, thank God, he knew what he's doing. He knew I'd say, here I am, Lord, I'll go with thee. I'm glad, praise God, tonight, that he knows when to pass by. And sometimes we sit here and wonder, praise God, why did I wait so long? Well, it wasn't time yet. You know the time when my God passes by, and your heart's right to receive him. A lot of times we get out here and we wonder around there. We wonder why God ain't saving this or why God ain't saving that one. It's because their heart isn't ready yet to receive the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you what, tonight, if your heart isn't ready and you receive the word of the Lord, you'll be one of them people that come up here to an old-fashioned altar and you'll think that you've got something, but you'll walk away just as empty as you left. I'm telling you what, that's the biggest problem today in the house of God, is a lot of people isn't ready to get saved, but they think that they are ready to get saved. And I'm here to tell you tonight, praise God, not everybody that comes is saved. So, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, we get the parable of the sower. We show you that about 25% that makes a profession truly gets salvation. And we can go on down and we can go back to the Old Testament and we can look at the remnant and we can find out it could be as little as 10%.
Yep. That's right.
So if we got 100 people in here, we could possibly say only 10 truly got the Lord. Man. Preacher, I don't know about that. Well, I do, praise God. The Bible says, let God be the truth and every man a liar.
That's right.
Amen. So whatever the Bible says, I'm going to believe it tonight. But I know my God knows what he's doing. But listen, it says, Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house. Now listen to this. He said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Brother Brad, I believe, thank God, that when he saved my soul, he wanted me to make a covenant with him that I'd go for him. And he entrusted me with everything that he had.
Right.
When I go out and I share the Lord with people around me, praise God, I'm not going out by myself.
That's right.
I'm not going out with nothing to offer. I'm going out, thank God, to offer him everything that God has. Praise God tonight. He's rich, thank God, in great glory. He's rich in everything, thank God. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in anything that you need. He's got it, praise God, tonight. A lot of times we go out here and we share with the world like he's destitute. I'm thinking, well, my God, ain't never been destitute. There's never been things. My table will never be empty, praise God. A righteous man sees you'll never have to beg for bread.
Amen.
So tonight, if you're sitting in here and you're a child of God and you're struggling, you can't hardly make it, you ain't got no food on your table, I'm telling you what, you better get to thinking, praise God, if he's your heavenly Father. Because the Bible can't lie tonight. You'll never go hungry. And you'll never have to beg for bread. The book says it. I believe it, don't you, Brother Brad?
Amen.
I believe there's folks out here, praise God, that's living way below what God wants them to live. But there's reasons for that. We're not going to get on that right now. But listen to this as we go on down in 3. It says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. He's pretty plain, praise God. The Bible had always said we need to stay with his kind and we need to stay with our kind. Tonight, if you're sitting in here and you're thinking about getting married, you better get to marry, be a marrying someone that's been born again. Because I'm telling you what, you better not get unequally yoked. And I'm telling you what, if there's a preacher in here tonight, you better not marry people that's unequally yoked.
Amen.
That's the biggest problem today. A lot of people walk out here and they get married and they think they're going to get that person saved. There's no guarantee. And your life will be a living hell after you do that. Because they'll never want to go to the church. They'll always want you to go against God, and it'll be a living hell all the time. Say, preacher, I don't know. Yeah, I do. The Bible teaches that, Brother Brad. God's word's true. He's going to follow it.
But listen to this. It says, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, now listen to this. This is a question that we all probably have. It says, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must needs I bring the son, thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? That's a valid question tonight. A lot of us say, well, if I go there, what if they won't come? I dealt with that, and yet when I was first in the ministry, it really bothered me a whole lot. I was like, man, when they all going to start coming? But that ain't up to me tonight, praise God. It's up to us to sow the seed, to water the seed, but God to give the increase. Amen. That's what's happened to a lot of us today. We've got so discouraged about going here and witnessing because we want to be God. And I ain't God, praise God. All God told me was invited to come. All my God told me was witness to them. Tell them how good I am. Present me well unto this lost and dying world. And then the rest of it's in my hands. And in my
hands. Amen.
It ain't up to me. All it's up to me tonight is to present Jesus for you. All it is for me to do tonight, thank God, is lift him high up, thank God. To magnify and glorify him, for me to be less, that he can be greater. I'm telling you what, tonight, praise God, I'm very the least of all these, but I serve a great and mighty God. And I tell you what, he loves each and every one of you tonight, and if you're here lost and undone, I bet you he's inviting you to come to him. And you better not turn it down, because it may be the very last time.
Amen.
Did he ever invite you to come?
That's right.
And he's not invited you to come to this any old thing.
That's right.
He's asking you to come to a marriage supper.
That's right.
To a marriage supper.
Amen.
I'm a going, praise God. Ain't you a going tonight, church? Hallelujah, thank God. I got a place to go. But it ain't right yet. I'm in the dressing room right now. I'm just getting ready. Just getting ready. And when we get ready, praise the Lord, then we're going on. But listen to this. It says, and the servant said, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must needs I bring thy son again in the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Praise God, he didn't want him to go back over in the other land. He said he's going to stay right here. I'm telling you what, praise God, Jesus Christ come one time, and he's not going to come again until he receives us up into heaven. I'm telling you what, folks, tonight, you better get it right. Because I'm telling you what, the next time he shows up, it'll be up in the clouds of Shekinah glory. He'll call his children home, and then the next time he comes, praise God, he's going to come here at the end of the tribulation period, and he's going to set a parade on this earth. I'm telling you what, I'm going to be a following right behind him, praise God. He's going to leave. Thank God on the great white stallion. I tell you what, tonight, glory be to God. I'm going to be right there with him, honey. But right before that, I'm going to eat the marriage supper of the Lamb with him. Thank God. We're going to enjoy ourselves during that tribulation period of 7 years right then. And I tell you what, tonight, church, you better get ready, praise God, because he's a coming on down. I tell you what, tonight, if you ain't ready, if you are not sure about it, you better get tell this old fashioned over up here and make sure that you are ready, because it don't matter whether you're ready or not, here he comes.
Amen.
But I want you to realize something tonight. As we get on down in here, we'll find out a few more things. It says here, the Lord God of heaven. Now listen to this. It says, Abraham said to him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, in which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. I'm telling you what, praise God, I'm glad he's already went before me. I'm glad there's a Holy Spirit of God tonight that's already went out here to reprove the world of its sin. I'm glad he's working on the other side. I'm glad before I even knock on that door that God sends me to, he's already been there and worked that hard out and then getting ready there to receive the word of God from his servants that's supposed to be carried out here to this lost and dying world.
Amen.
God's always went before us and prepared the way.
Right.
He's never asked you to go somewhere he's not already been. He leads by example. But listen. He says, and if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. He didn't go empty-handed. And he didn't wait. After God, after he confirmed there in his heart and got confirmed, he went. And he took 10 camels with him. Folks, tonight I'm glad, praise God, tonight that there's not enough camels in this world to carry what my God owns. There's not enough, thank God, there to take all he owns. And I'm telling you what, tonight we don't realize, we don't see God the way we ought to see him. My God is rich beyond measure. You think you might have money tonight, you may be living in a $500,000 home. And I'm telling you, that's just junk compared to what my God owns. I want you to keep everything you've got, but I'll take Jesus any day of the week, praise God. I'll take heaven up high. I'll take Jesus all the time, thank God. It don't matter, honey. Just as Joe, he lost everything in his head, praise God. There's one thing he didn't lose. He didn't lose his soul, thank God, because God had his soul, praise the Lord, tonight. We may lose everything that we have, but we're not going to lose one thing. There's one thing I don't have. He holds it in the hollow of his hand, and that's salvation.
Amen.
It's his salvation. Restore the joy of thy salvation. So you recognize that didn't say our salvation. It says thy salvation. I'm glad, thank God, that once he saved me, he don't have to do it again and again and again and again. I'm glad, praise God, once my name's been written down, it stays there. Thank God the devil can't touch it. Ain't you glad tonight, church?
Amen.
But listen to this. He said, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water. At the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, now listen to this. This is interesting to me. He got there to a place, a well of water. He didn't just sit there down on the step here and just sit there and think, who's God going to see me? He got down to pray. Folks, tonight I believe if we had some more praying, praise God, we'd get some more answers. But listen what he said. He said, oh Lord, now listen what he says. He says, oh Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and shew kindness unto my master Abraham. Now listen. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. Now he prayed specific. He didn't pray so vague, praise God, that we could think about it getting answered. He prayed specifically tonight. I believe there's some people sitting here right now that's prayed so vaguely, honey, that they wouldn't even know if God was truly from God. But I tell you what, tonight, if you need something from God, you need to come up here and pray to Almighty God exactly what you stand in need of. And when you come up here, honey, you'll believe by now what God wants for you and what he has for you. He said, I might know. I'm glad it ain't no maybe so salvation.
Right.
He says that you could not.
That's right. Yeah.
So tonight, if you sit back there and some preacher, boy, you getting on me. I ain't getting on you. It's the Holy Ghost getting on you. You better listen to him. You grieve him, honey, you're done. You grieve him, you're done. You can grieve the Father and you can grieve the Son. But if you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, you're done. You better be careful of what you say unto God. But listen what it says. It came to pass. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. Before it even got out of his mouth, it began to come to pass. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. Who's on your heart tonight? I guarantee you everybody in here has got somebody lost on their heart right now. Don't wait for the invitation. You better come now. If God burdens your heart right now to come and pray for that lost person in your heart, you better come. And God can do it for you if you get done speaking. I believe a lot of times there we quench the Holy Spirit of God but not move.
That's right.
I believe tonight, praise God, if God tells you to move, you better move right now. That servant moved right now. He got down and prayed. And I'll tell you what God answered for you. Even God done speaking. Tonight, church, do you truly believe how bad a burden you've got on your heart? He had a great burden to go get a wife for Isaac, and thank God he's going to get it done. And the only way he knew to get it done was to do what his master had always done to get it done. And I'm telling you what, tonight, my master, the Lord Jesus Christ, he got down and prayed, thank God, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm telling you what, tonight, his disciples laid out there and they fell asleep 2 or 3 times. And I'm telling you what, the third time, honey, he got out there and he said, I'll go ahead and sleep, praise God. And I'm telling you what, tonight, it's time to get awake, to arise, to let thy light shine. It's not a time to sleep, thank God. Here's the time to pray for this lost and dying world.
Amen.
Better pay attention to God. He don't always pass by. There's sometimes feels like it's getting pretty lonely. But when he gets passing by, thank God, you better get down there and call upon his name. But it said, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom it's going down, it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her pitcher upon her shoulder, just as he prayed. And the damsel was what? Very fair to look upon. What else was she? She was a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. She was a hard-working woman. She was virtuous. Folks, tonight, praise God, I'm telling you what, you're virtuous there if you're a worker. It's good to work and get the job done. It's not time to be slothful. This is before she even went to be Isaac's wife. But listen to what it says here. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And that's a pretty big job. Camels, thank God, they drunk a lot of water. So she wasn't like she went down there and done one little old thing there. And honey, she drew a lot of water. And it wasn't like us out here turning the spigot on the water running out. Honey, you had to drop it down in there and you had to bring it back up. And it took a little while for her to get it done. I'm telling you what, tonight, praise God, if you need to be saved and God's passing your way, honey, it's going to take a little bit of effort on your part. And when he calls you, you're going to have to come. It's just like that little fellow come the other night, praise God. You can see his heart there. It took a lot for him to get up out of there and come before a crowd of people. He get up there, honey, and be a weeper and have sorrow in his eyes. I'm telling you what, today, somebody can get a hold of him more than man's word. Thank God the word of God, the Spirit of God, got a hold of him and grew him up.
Amen.
But there's also one thing I didn't mention a minute ago. He never did mention the name of his servant. Did he? It ain't about me. It ain't about you, Brad. It ain't about you. It's about him.
That's right.
We should never step out here and want our name to be known.
That's right.
That's right.
We should be like John the Baptist. I must decrease that he might be him.
Amen.
And hey, I don't know what that means tonight. When John the Baptist said that, honey, he went out there and told the king he shouldn't have his brother's wife, and he got lost his head. But thank God he's with the Lord.
Amen.
What matters? It don't matter anything but whether you're going to be with the Lord or not. Whether you got to lose your head when you die, whether you have diseases, all that matters is if you're right to go home one day.
Amen.
That's all it really matters. And you won't have a whole lot of friends either.
That's right.
Last time I was at Dublin, I respected a person.
That's right.
But not if you're looking for respect to people, you're looking the wrong direction. Folks, and I want you to realize that Jesus wasn't very popular with the crowd. They didn't love him much, but I'll tell you what they respected. Tonight, people might not like you very much, but they'll respect you if you stand for God. A lot of us go around out here in this world today, we act like we're somebody. Praise God, I'm nobody.
But I'll tell you what, my Lord is somebody. He is the great I am. He's my Redeemer. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And that's all they need to know.
Amen.
It never does mention his servant's name throughout the whole thing. Why? Because he wasn't there to present himself. He was there to present the Savior. Folks, tonight we need to present the Savior. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, in 20 she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew off for his camels. The man wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He had a good idea that he was prosperous, but he was still marveling somewhat at God answering his prayer so quickly and so precisely. Don't you sometimes pray and God will answer it about exactly what you prayed for? And you're like, man, it takes you a little while to get a hold of that. Amen. Folks, tonight we need to thank the Lord for answering us the way he does. He don't have to do that. He does it because he loves us. And also he does it because he wants to grow our faith. But it says it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of the 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Now listen to this. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Huh. Is there room in your heart for God to lodge in? Is there room for God to lodge in that old heart of yours? You sitting in here tonight and you lost and undone, you sit there and you think, is there room tonight for Almighty God to lodge in? That's up to you. Is there room tonight for him to come into your heart? Will you make room for him? Will you let him in? It's pretty interesting. A lot of people sit there, I ain't gonna let him in. I've seen what it does to these men up here. They get up and shout, praise God, run around the church. They're out here all the time, out here on Sundays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Mondays, Thursdays. Honey, I don't know if I can stand that, praise God. I've got things I've got to do. I don't really got time for God. I'm telling you what, tonight you better make time for God. Because I'm telling you what, there'll come a day and there'll come a time, praise God, that one day we'll reach eternity and there'll be either eternity with God or it'll be eternity in hell separated from Almighty God. And I'm telling you what, at that point in time, there'll be no changing it tonight, church.
Amen.
You'll be one place or the other. And don't listen to these people. Thank God to believe once you die, you just die because your soul will live forevermore. Either with God or apart from God. A lot of times there, I know I missaid it. Sometimes there, you'll live in hell forever. No, you won't. You'll be living in hell for a while and then you'll be cast in a lake of fire to live forever.
There you go.
We'll clarify that. We want to be right in what we say. But the Bible says, and she said unto him, listen to this. Now listen, she's going to get something. She's fixing to get something. But listen, it said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. She says, come on in. I got room for you, praise God. But listen, what happened next? The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. He said, thank God. She opened her heart up and she's receiving this word into it. Hey, she's got room for the Lord. He got down, he thanked God. He worshiped the Lord for making his journey prosperous. I'm telling you what, tonight, thank God, if we'd get down and we'd thank the Lord a little bit more, we'd see a little bit more prosperous journey, and we'd see a lot more things happen. I'm telling you what, tonight, church, we ought to joy, we ought to glory, we ought to tear the house down tonight, praise God. We ought to let this community know around here, we got something in our heart, we got something for them, praise God, and he's enough to go around.
Amen.
We don't have to be stingy.
That's right.
They can feel you, me, and they can feel everybody here. The way I look at it is, praise God, the blood covered it all. There's not a person out here that's bad enough that the blood can't cover their sin. There's not somebody out here good enough that the blood can't cover their sin.
And these songs here says, well, one drop would do. No, it took it all. He took it all in that church. Every bit he had. But there's none of it lost. It's all put on the mercy seat up in heaven before the Father. Dang, go. She said, moreover to him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He said, thank God you led me exactly where I needed to go. And I'm telling you what, God didn't set us out to be a failure. God set us out to be a victor. God set us out, thank God, to be a success. Tonight when God sends you out, praise God, you rest assured. Thank God it's going to be prosperous and it's going to work for the glory of God in that church.
Amen.
There's a lot of people out here who trust in everything else more than they will God.
That's right.
Last time I looked, thank God, who's been good to you? Who's always been right? Who's never let you down? Thank God he's always true and he's faithful.
Amen.
But it goes on to tell us, and Rebekah had a brother and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. He wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. He had people with him. I'm telling you what, when the Bible told us to go out two by two, that's what God meant. God didn't mean us to go out here by ourselves, praise God. God knew exactly what would happen. He said, the mouth of two or more witnesses, the truth is established. Ain't no better witness than that. Thank God that God can save the souls of lost men and women and children tonight. Thank God that he's praise God. Give a witness tonight.
Amen.
And a lot of times we sit around with someone witness out here to them, we never give them a witness. We need to stand up and say, thank God, that's exactly right. We'll stand with them tonight. That's the way the Bible teaches. A lot of times we'll watch our brother and sister sit up there and tell them, thank God, no September, real quiet. And start opening our mouths. And start backing one another up and what's being said.
Amen.
It ain't going to do no good. The preacher get up here and preach, praise God, and nobody back them. It ain't going to do no good for you, praise God, to go out here and witness and try to do it if the preacher won't back you. I'm telling you what, tonight, thank God, we got to stand with one another tonight if we want to see things happen in the house of God. He said, listen. He said, and a man came to the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water and washed the feet. And he says, and there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, now listen, there's meat set before him. And listen what he said. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. Folks, tonight we need to make sure that God always comes first. Mm-hmm. We need to always make sure, what does the Bible say? It says, as man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Tonight we need God's word more than we need the food that we put in our bed. A lot of times they're worried about going down to fellowship hall and having a big meal. Thank God, it's time to shut up, preacher. Praise God. It's time to go down and eat a bit. I'm telling you what, tonight, thank God, I need the word of God